Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord again this evening, isn't it? Not only in the house of the Lord, but here we are in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is here. I can feel Him in the atmosphere. Amen. But He's not just in the atmosphere. I feel Him right here in my heart. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It's good to see you again in the house of the Lord. Appreciated the service this morning, the presence of the Lord. Enjoyed a wonderful meal. Thank you for a good place to stay. The offering tonight. It's just a privilege to be among friends. That's the way we feel about it right here at Savannah. We just feel like we're right here with friends. And appreciate the goodness of the Lord. It's good to see these preachers and folks that are already coming in for the camp meeting. I'm looking forward to camp meeting. Amen. It's one of my favorite things to do in life is to go to camp meetings and fellowship with God's people, enjoy the preaching of God's word. And brother and sister Newton are here. I was surprised to see them and thankful to see them. I preached my very first Valentine's banquet at Brother Newton's church when I was 14 years old. Hallelujah. It's been a few years ago and a whole lot of hair ago. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. But I'm glad they're here tonight. And it's good to see them. And appreciate the blessings of the Lord. Appreciate your pastor. And just appreciate his life, his ministry. And I'll tell you what, when I grow up, I hope I can be just like him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'd like for you to turn tonight, if you will, to the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. While you're turning, I want to give you a little word of testimony and maybe just build your faith up a little bit. But again, I mentioned to you this morning the youth camp last week. We had on Wednesday night, I preached on the Holy Ghost. Had 25 go through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was thankful for that. I exhorted just a little bit after while the choir was singing Thursday night. And young folks began to pray and seek the Lord again. And they started saying, this one went through to it, and this one, they just got it. And before it was over, another 13 or 14 got it on Thursday night. But right in the middle of that, I didn't realize it. You see, Wednesday night a week ago, we were getting things cleaned up there on the vans, and the young folks had a group of folks there working around the church, getting ready to go to youth camp. And everybody was just about gone, and I reached down to pick up a cargo trailer, a little one that you put luggage in behind the van, just raised it up and put it up on my hitch of my truck, about 3 foot apart. And Brother Mark, it kind of got away from me. I'd done it 100 times before, but it kind of got away from me, and I was in an awkward position, and long story short, I tore my hamstring right there doing that. Had to be taken by ambulance to the hospital. I thought I was going to have surgery and be out of commission for a while, but the Lord was gracious, and I didn't have to have surgery, but I've been it was one of the most excruciating things I'd ever been through in my life. And anyway, I was hobbling through youth camp. You know, it's Pleasant Valley. They say Pleasant Valley, but everything's on a hill. You got to climb up a hill everywhere you go. And I was hobbling around that hill and trying to preach. And, you know, I was coming across there the first night, and that thing would grab. It just jerked me. I'd say, "Ooh, that's the hamstring, not the Holy Ghost. Don't get nervous." Hallelujah. And but in the middle of that altar service Thursday night, while young folks were going through the Holy Ghost, I don't know when it happened. All I know is when I was getting ready to leave the platform to go change my shirt after an hour and a half long altar service, I went walking down the steps and realized I don't hurt no more. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I was pondering over and looking, thanking the Lord for it as I was walking out the side aisle to go out the doors. And right before I got out, I felt the Lord check me. I just turned around, walked back to the pulpit, stomach was still praying, grabbed the microphone, said, "I just want to testify to God's healing power." Amen. He healed me right there in the middle of that altar service. And so I don't ever jump very high, but I do. I can use this leg, and I'm thankful for that. Praise God. Amen. So I want to testify to God's goodness to me tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm glad my wife's here. Sweetheart, would you stand and testify? Praise the Lord. Amen. Daniel chapter number 3 tonight. Stand, if you will, for the reading of God's word. Praise the name of the Lord. Daniel chapter number 3. Very familiar passage of scripture, very familiar story. But I trust that the Lord will help me convey to you the burden of my heart. And I pray that God would let faith rise up in somebody's heart tonight to just be able to believe and trust Him. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Drop down to verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselor, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord tonight. If the Lord would help me, I would like to try to preach to you tonight on faith greater than fire. Faith greater than fire. As I ponder the lessons that the Holy Ghost would like to for us to learn from this text tonight, there's two questions that come into focus. Number one, what is the proper definition of faith? And number two, what kind of pressure were these boys really facing? First, let's define faith here tonight. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says this about faith. It's a strong belief or trust in someone or something. Strong religious feelings or beliefs. That sounds good, but when I ponder it over in the biblical sense, Brother Ralston, that seems mighty generic. I think we find the best definition, biblical definition for faith found within the bounds of God's word. We see it in Hebrews 11, verse number 1, where the Bible says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Notice the terminology the writer of Hebrews uses here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you're hoping for it, you don't obtain it yet, but faith is what you feel when you're not feeling it. Amen. Then he uses this terminology. It's the evidence of things not seen. How can you have evidence of something that's not within sight? Well, faith allows you to see it when it's not yet visible. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. How many knows this? That's really what we're talking about tonight. Amen. Faith is the evidence or the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But how many knows that doubt is the opposite of faith? And oh, I tell you, it seems like in this generation, it's awful hard at times to get folks to really, really have faith and believe God and the promises of God. One reason why that's true is because we know faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's essential in the Christian life that you have a healthy diet of God's word. The only way you're going to be able to trust Him and really have faith in Him is you've got to know Him. Amen. How do we get to know Him? Of course, we do through our prayer and communication with God, but also through the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. His word is the foundation of faith. Oh, hallelujah. That's why you need to build on the Word of God. Amen. Hear me tonight when I tell you this. Amen. Faith is something that is essential in this house. Spurgeon said this. He said, every other crime touches God's territory, but unbelief aims a blow at his divinity, impeaches his veracity, denies his goodness, blasphemes his attributes, and maligns his character. Therefore, God above all things hates first and chiefly unbelief wherever it is. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that God would help us tonight to put our faith and confidence, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, God help us to have faith in you. Amen. One man said this, little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Oh, hallelujah. Did you hear that? Little faith, amen, will bring you to heaven. Amen. But great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Is there anybody that needs heaven to come to where you're at tonight? I said, is there anybody that came tonight bowed under a load of pressure? You say, preacher, I really need heaven to come to where I'm at. Well, I pray that God would build our faith so that we could trust him for the needs that we have right here tonight. Amen. So that's the definition of faith. But let's look secondly at the pressure these young men were under. Amen. They were under attack of the enemy. They were captives in a foreign land. Amen. They had been completely cut off from the society that they had grown up in, and now they were being forced to assimilate into a society that was opposed to the values that they had grown up with. Everything that had been taught to them, everything that they had been raised up to know, the faith that they had been instilled into them, the law of God that had been instilled in them from their very birth, amen, has now all been, they're separated from all of that, and now Babylon is trying to conform them, amen, to what they desire and what they want, and now this graven image has been built, the fiery furnace has been prepared, and these young men who some say we're somewhere between the age of 15 and 17. I don't know if that's true or not. Amen. But I do know this. They were in a pressure cooker, if you will. Amen. The pressure of all of Babylon was on their shoulders, and they have been brought to a decision point. You see, that's what the devil's trying to do in every one of our lives. Amen. He's trying to bring us to a place where we choose whether we're going to serve God or whether we're going to go back to the things of the world. Amen. He does know this for the most part from a lot of us. Amen. Tempting us with a bottle or tempting us with drugs or tempting us with some depraved sin like that is not going to have any effect on us. And so he just puts the pressure on us, and he keeps putting the pressure on us, and he just keeps putting pressure on us, trying to destroy our faith in God, to bring us to the breaking point where we deny God and go back to the things of the world. But I want you to hear me tonight. Amen. That you can have a faith that's greater than the fire you're facing. I said you can have a faith that is greater than the fire you're facing. Amen. Look with me, if you will, from this biblical account. First of all, the devotion of faith. For verse number 17, notice the words of these three boys. If it be so, our God whom we serve. Hallelujah. First of all, I want you to notice about this devotion of faith, a consecrated love. Amen. Think back to the incident with them and Daniel, amen, in regards to the king's meat in chapter number 1, and now this situation they're facing with the fire furnace, and it becomes quite clear that these young men are devoted with a consecrated love to God. I said they were devoted with a consecrated love for God. There was nothing in their heart for the things of Babylon. I said there was nothing in their heart for the things of Babylon. Amen. Yes, they were away from parents. Yes, they were away from the priest. Yes, they were away from the temple. They were away from everything that would hold them true in a sense. But there was something in their heart. I said there was a love for God in their heart that superseded all of the enticements of Babylon. Oh, listen, we're living in a world that's putting pressure on us to conform to its attitudes and its styles and its philosophy. Amen. It's always all around us. You can't walk into Walmart or go to the third world country of the mall, Brother Austin, without feeling the pressure of this hour and this generation. But I want you to hear me today. How are we going to survive when sin and wickedness and worldliness is all around you? How are we going to hold true to the things that we know are right from God's word that's been handed to us from generation to generation of godly, holy men? I'll tell you how. We've got to get a love in our heart that's greater than defiling things of the world. You young people may be looking at it tonight saying, how in the world am I going to live above sin? How am I going to stay clean and free from the temptations of this world? You're going to do it just like these three men did it. You're going to get a love in your heart that's greater than the pressure of Babylon. I said, you got to get a love in your heart. The world doesn't have any influence on a heart that doesn't have love for the world in it. But if you'll get a love for God with everything that's within you, I said, you got to love God with everything that's within you. Oh, hallelujah. And consecrate yourself to Him in devotion. Oh, hallelujah. Not only do you see a consecrated love, amen, but you see a committed life. The true character of their love is reflected by the conduct of their life. Let me say that again. The true character of their love is reflected by the conduct of their life. The proof is in the pudding. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If you really love Him, if you really are in love with Jesus, amen. Listen, I appreciate folks that come into our churches and adopt a form of godliness. I appreciate folks that have enough respect for their pastor that they'll conform to a certain standard, amen, so they can be on the platform and they can be involved in the work of the Lord. I appreciate folks that have enough respect for young folks, have enough respect for their parents that they'll conform to whatever conviction their parents say they're going to live while they live in that house. Amen. But somewhere along the line, it's got to get more. Amen. Become more than just a respect for authority. Amen. Thank God for that. That's an evil. We need more of that in this generation. Amen. But there comes a point, if you're going to live this, if you're going to make it in this sinful hour, you're going to have to get it in your heart. I said, you're going to have to get it down deep in our hearts. We can legislate it from the pulpit. Amen. We can legislate it in up and down and all around, but when it comes right to it, when you're all by yourself and you're all alone in this world, you're going to find yourself in a pressurized situation. And it's then, my friend, excuse me, that you're going to have a love in your heart, amen, that commits. It's a commitment. How many knows commitment is something that's gone by the wayside in this generation? Oh, yes, but I'm telling you, these men had a devotion of faith, a committed life, a consecrated love. Here's where I want to preach to you tonight. The Lord will help me. Not only on the devotion of faith, but on the dynamic of faith. Oh, help me, sweet Jesus. Notice again verse 17. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Oh, hallelujah. The dynamic of faith. Faith is believing that He can. It's a faith in God's ability. Amen. Are you convinced tonight that God can do what you need Him to do? Oh, come on now. I said, are you convinced? Is it settled in your heart that God can do what He said He would do? Amen. That's a faith in God's ability. Well, let me ask you the question tonight. Is there anything too hard for God? Amen. Look it over. Look all through your life. Is there anything too hard for God? Amen. Is there anything beyond His ability? Is there anything beyond His knowledge? Is there anything beyond, amen, his strength and power? Assemble the jury, call the witnesses, and look through God's word. Amen. Was there ever a time that he could not deliver? Was there ever a time when he could not provide? Was there ever a time when he could not heal? I said, go through it, friend. Go from Genesis to Revelation. And what does the scriptural record record for us tonight? It proves through and through time and again that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. There is nothing too hard with God. Amen. I know it looks impossible. I know it looks like there's no way around it and there's no way through it. But I come to tell you tonight, with men it is impossible, but with God. Oh, hallelujah. But with God, all things are possible. Right here at Savannah, you don't have to go any further but look right next door to you to know that there's nothing too hard for God. I said, there's nothing too hard for God. God has the power to do it. I said, God has the power to do it. You can trust him. Oh, that God would help us to realize tonight, amen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's the Red Sea. It doesn't matter if it's the walls of Jericho. Amen. It doesn't matter. Amen. If it's an empty barrel. It doesn't matter if it's a lion's den. It doesn't matter if it's a fiery furnace. It doesn't matter if it's a Roman jail. Amen. It doesn't matter. Amen. If it's death, it doesn't matter. Amen. If it's blindness, it doesn't matter. Amen. If it's lameness, amen. God has the power and God has the ability to do just what we needed to do. There's no need in this house tonight. I said, there's no need in this house tonight that God can't work it. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's heart trouble. I don't care if it's diabetes. I don't care what it is tonight. I don't care if it's a broken home. I don't care. I don't care. Amen. I do care. You understand? But I don't care. Amen. What it is. Amen. There's power tonight. I said, God has the power to turn it all around. You may be looking at an empty bank account. You may be looking at circumstances, amen, that are beyond your control. But I come to remind the church tonight, amen, there is power, God's power, to work it out. Oh, hallelujah. I'm standing on the promises. I said, I'm standing on the promises of God's holy word. And I know because he's done so much for me. He's already proved himself true. You come too late to tell me he doesn't heal. You come too late to tell me God doesn't work. You come too late to tell me that God can't turn it around. I don't care what it is tonight. God can't do it. I said, I know that God has the power to do it tonight. The dynamic of faith. Faith is believing he can. It's a faith in God's ability. But hear me tonight. Amen. The dynamic of faith is not only believing that he can, but it's believing that he will. Amen. Believing he can is a faith in God's ability. But believing he will is a faith in God's action. This is the dynamic of faith that's often missing, because we'll stand and testify that he can. We'll shout to the fact that he can. Amen. We'll glorify him that he can. We know that he can. We've seen it do it. We know he's done it in the past. And so we testify, and we ought to, that God has the power to do it. He can do it. But I want to ask you tonight, do you believe he will do it? I feel the Holy Ghost right there. I said, do you believe he can? Amen. But do you believe he will? We can believe he can, but we can't step into that realm of he will, because fear stands in opposition, amen, to that kind of faith. I said, fear stands in opposition to that kind of faith, to stand and declare, I not only believe he can, I believe he's going to do it. I believe he will do it for his glory's sake. You say, preacher, what about all the people that we've come and prayed for and anointed with oil like the Bible said, but they walked out just as sick as ever, and they eventually died and we had their funeral? Explain that to me. Listen, amen, I don't have the ability, amen, to explain sovereignty. Amen. If you get that done, amen, you come talk to me. Amen. But I do know this. I do know that regardless of the outcome, amen, he can and he will. I was leaving the Bristow meeting a couple weeks ago, driving home, and I turned on Holiness Preaching Online, And when I did, I recognized the voice instantly. It was the sound of an old Indian from Oklahoma by the name of Moore, Brother LD. I said, how fitting, leaving the Bristow meeting and hearing Brother Moore. Oh, I tell you what, you can't listen to those old tapes of Brother Moore without feeling a breath of fresh air hits you. I'm just telling you. His theology, you know, he wouldn't impress you with his homiletics, young men. But I'm going to tell you, talking about just clear, practical faith, trust in God, holiness, I'm telling you, through and through. And he began to tell in that preaching that day, he got a call from a friend of theirs, a sister called him. Said, Brother Moore, they told me that I have lupus and leukemia, and they're sending me to a specialist to confirm this in 2 weeks. I really need prayer. And I heard Brother Moore say it. I don't ever remember hearing him say this before, but he told that sister, sis, you don't have to accept that. Well, when he said that, something stood up in me. You hear me? Sis, you don't have to accept that. In fact, we're not going to accept that. And we're going to believe God, amen, for a good report. He said, I'll be praying about it. You call me back whenever you get done at the doctor in a couple weeks. He said, about 3 weeks went by. Amen. And that sister called him back. She said, glory to God, Brother Moore. I got the results back from the specialist. And he said, I didn't have leukemia and lupus. I'm clear and free. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He said, glory to God, sister, I told you, you don't have to accept that. And I'm telling you right now, I feel like telling somebody, you don't have to accept what the devil says is inevitable. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to feel like preaching here tonight. I said, you don't have to accept, amen, what the devil says is inevitable. I know what the doctor said. I know what the banker may have told you. I know what the judge said. But I'm going to tell you, there's a judge higher, amen, with more power and more authority. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Austin said it right today. He even transcends the laws of nature, amen, to bring his people through, amen, to victory. I'm here to preach to us tonight. Amen. We need that kind of faith that says he can. Amen. But we need that faith that says he will. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're facing. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost breathing on me right now. I said, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But I come to tell you tonight, amen, you can trust him. And you need to pray to the point where he says, I believe he will do it. Oh, hallelujah. The devotion of faith. The dynamic of faith. The verse 18 tells us about the determination of faith. For in verse number 18, notice what the Hebrew boys say. They just said, our God is able and he will. But verse 18 says, but if not. Now, if you just stop there, you'd say, oh, yeah, there it is. Ah, yeah, there's that little clause. But no, no. Don't stop there. He says, because that's not the end of the story. Amen. They were not expressing a lack of faith. Amen. But if not, amen, our God, whom we serve, amen, will deliver us. Oh, hallelujah. There again is that dynamic of faith. But it doesn't stop there. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods. Can I tell you that's the kind of faith that God's looking for in this generation that says, I believe he can and I believe he will. But if he doesn't, I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to love him. I'm not going to let my circumstance steal my worship. Oh, hallelujah. But in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of the fire, amen, I'm still going to serve God. Oh, hallelujah. I've known people before, if God didn't heal their headache, amen, they'd miss 2 or 3 services, amen, fussing and complaining, amen, because God didn't hear them and God's not helping them. Why God won't heal me?
Amen. Ah, it's time to grow up a little. Hallelujah. I said, it's time to grow up a little and realize God's been too good to you. I said, God's been too good to you. Amen. To sit around and whine and fuss and complain. Amen. About what's not going your way. Recognize tonight, my friend, there's something greater than yourself. I said, that's what these boys realized. There was a cause greater than themselves. They done fell in love with God. And they realized there was nothing better and higher and more glorious than Him. They were standing before the most powerful man in the world at that time. Amen. With the possibility of going into a fire furnace. But they still said, amen, we're not bowing. We're not quitting. God's going to deliver us. But if He doesn't, we're still going to die loving Him. We're going to die trusting Him. We're going to die praising Him. And I tell you, that's what God would like to get in your heart tonight, regardless of the outcome. I said, regardless of what life may bring against you, you've got to get that kind of faith that says, I'm going to serve Him no matter what comes my way. I'm going to live for Him no matter what the devil tries. We will not. Notice their confident intentions. We will not. It's a matter of the will. Oh, yes. We do have a will. Woo! And some of us, well, probably not here in Savannah. That's probably just back in Arkansas. But there's folks that have a very stubborn will. Devin, close your ears, son. I'm going to talk about you just a minute. Oh, no, I know. When Devin was 18 months old, even before then, he exhibited a very strong will to the point where I went and bought Dobson's book, How to Raise a Strong-Willed Child. I was talking to Brother Randy Webb on the phone one day, my pastor, and I said, boy, Brother Randy, I need you to help me and pray with me. My little boy, I mean, he's not even 2 years old yet. I said, he has got such a strong will. Oh, Brother Dennis, Big D, all kids got a strong will. It'll be all right. It's all right, Pastor. A few weeks later, we had the Bristow meeting. Brother Randy got to watching my wife over there from the platform. And old Devin Waller around on her. He come to me at the church and said, hey, D, you're going to have to get a hold of that boy.
I tried to tell you.
Hallelujah. One day, I remember in the living room of our home there in Ohio when we was evangelizing. Boy, he bowed up on me. Brother Mark, I hate to tell you, it took me 45 minutes to break his will. He just kept bowing up on me. I just kept laying into him. Oh, I know that ruffles some feathers in this generation. You know what? I finally, whenever I got done, I was hot and sweaty. My wife's over there bawling, squalling. She never said a word. Just let Daddy do his thing. And when he finally broke, I broke. And we both sat there and wept and cried. And you know what? Had one little instance that didn't take near as long a little bit later. But I've never. Now listen. But he's a good boy. But he had a will. And you know what? You do too. I'm not a pro at parenting. Especially teenagers, because I don't have one yet. Almost, but not there yet. They think they are sometimes. But I'm going to tell you something. If you let that baby get the best of you at 2, they'll run over you at 12. You listen to me? You better get a hold of them right now. I was in there for free. You don't have to pay me for that one, all right? Hallelujah. That's some of that free counsel, brother. Hallelujah. Hey, man, we have a will. And it could be the reason why you're having the trouble you're having. Is because you've never surrendered your will to His will. Have you submitted your will to His will? Is that the reason why you're so tormented with this sickness and disease or this circumstance? Because you're wanting God to do it your way. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost speaking to me right here. I said, you're wanting God to do it your way. But how many knows our way is not always God's way?
I don't understand why some folks get healed and some folks have to suffer. But I do know this. God's got a plan and a purpose in it all. And your responsibility is not to question God. I realize it's human nature. Read through the trial of Job and you realize Job had a lot of questions. Amen. He even had complaints. Amen. There in chapter 23 he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Amen. It wasn't because he was wanting to go and speak kindly with God. There were some questions and some complaints on his mind. He wanted to air them out before the Lord. Amen. Listen, I realize we all have questions why we suffer the way we do, but the quicker we get to that point where we say, "Lord, not my will." Amen. Listen. Even Paul prayed against suffering. He had a thorn in the flesh. God had revealed to him by the time he writes it down some of the purpose of Paul's suffering. Amen. Because it was to keep him humble. Amen. To work him humility in him. Amen. That was part of the plan. Amen. But listen, God did not do it the way Paul wanted to do it, but he did tell him, "My grace is sufficient for you." Amen. Listen, the quicker you get your will submitted to his will. Oh, hallelujah. When it came right down to the garden, amen, Jesus himself said, "No, Lord, amen, if there's any other way we can do this, amen, let this cup pass from me." But notice what Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." I'm here to preach to you tonight. Regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what you're going through, I say tonight, get that kind of faith that says, "I'm going to trust him no matter what comes." Amen. But notice what happens when they do. Verse 19 through 22. Amen. We read, after they've made this confident intention known, amen, there's clear instructions given. Heat the furnace 7 times hotter. Amen. When we make those confident intentions of serving and trusting God, how many knows it often gets worse before it gets better? But I love what happens as I hurry here. Verse number 23 through 25. Notice what happens. Amen. After their confident intentions and clear instructions has been given, we read about Christ's intervention. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, note this, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. It looks like it's all over. That's it. I'm done. I'm through. It's over. Does it seem like the verdict already been given and the sentence handed out? And it doesn't look like there's any hope at all? Let me tell you what faith does. Amen. Not faith in faith, but faith in the God of heaven. When it looked like it was all over and they were done and all they were expecting, amen, was the kingdom of Babylon to roll on. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire, and I see 4 men loose?" Oh, I love that right there. They went in bound, amen, but now they're loose. Amen. They went in bound, but now they're loose. They went into the fire, amen, and they were bound going into it, but when they got right there in the fire, amen, God came to them, and the only thing the fire had power over, amen, was the cords that had them bound. They found a freedom and a liberty in the midst of their trial that they did not experience on the outside of the trial. When they found themselves in the midst of it, amen, God granted them a liberty and a freedom that they'd have never experienced any other way. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Hear this preacher tonight. Amen. I said, they went in bound. Amen. But they found out that there was liberty in the midst of their trial.
And I'm telling you, when you put your faith and your confidence in God and you determine I'm going to serve Him no matter what comes my way, that's whenever God will loose you and give you freedom and a peace and a joy, amen, in the midst of your adversity that is not natural. It's supernatural. I said it's supernatural. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Randy Webb's sister, Marilyn, amen, battling cancer. She wasn't a doctor. She was trusting God. Amen. But oh, listen to me. I watched through a course of time, amen, cancer completely ravage her body and bring her to the point where she could hardly even move around. But I was there one night in the midst of that trial, one of the last times I was ever in church with her. My wife was sitting on the pew beside her. Amen. Whenever the youth choir there at King Mountain, amen, broke out to singing, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. Amen. My wife said, and sister Marilyn reached over and touched her on the arm and said, that's my song. Amen. Oh yeah, a lady that was dying with cancer, she said, that's my song. Amen. That part that goes, amen, the bridge, what is it, brother? I can't think of it right now. Amen. Something about a jubilee. I have been loose. I've been set free. Pardon me a minute while I have a jubilee. Amen. Sister Marilyn, she could hardly walk in the door. Amen. Cancer ravaging her body. Amen. But the joy of the Lord gave her a liberty and a freedom in the midst of her fire. Amen. She didn't dance. Amen. What's this the term I'm looking for? Amen. She kind of skipped across the front. Amen. I got a word for it. I can't think of it right now. Amen. She went to glorifying God, and a woman that was too weak to hardly walk in, amen, was rejoicing God back in front. Amen. Amen. As she worshiped God, listen to me. Amen. God can give you a joy and a peace in the midst. I know it looks like you're dying. I know it looks like you're about to be overwhelmed. I know you're in the middle of the fire, but God would like to set you loose in the middle of your fire. I see four men loose walking around. Now I want to ask you something. If they're loose and they're walking around, why didn't they walk out of the fire? Why didn't they leave the flames? Why did they stay right where they were at? I'll tell you what I think about it. Amen. Why did the king have to call them out of the fire? They had found a presence in the fire that was greater, amen, than the king on the outside of the fire. Oh, hallelujah. I know Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful, rich king in all of the world. But there was a king that they were in the presence of in the midst of their fire that was greater than the one on the outside of the fire. And I come to tell you right now, amen, if you'll get that kind of faith, amen, that says, I believe He can and I believe He will, even in the midst of your fire, even in the midst of your trouble, you'll find grace, amen, greater than what you've ever experienced outside of the fire. Oh, hallelujah. After Brother Martin's wife passed away, amen, Brother James Martin, one of the first places he preached at was at my church there in Texarkana. Amen. He got up at night. He preached from this very text right here. Amen. And I wept and I cried as Brother Martin, amen, expressed his faith in God by saying this. He said, Brother Dennis, he said, I experienced God's grace in such a way that I'd have never experienced any other way. And for that, I am thankful. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. What was that? That was that dynamic of faith. Amen. That determination of faith that says, I know I'm in it. I know I'm going through it. I know it's about as bad as it can possibly get. Amen. But I feel God's touch and God's help in such a way that if I have to live this way the rest of my life, I'm going to entertain His presence. I'm going to enjoy His grace. You say, preacher, I don't see how that can happen. Right now, you're miserable. Right now, peace is something, amen, that's eluding you. Amen. You're here tonight, amen, tempted to grumble and complain, amen, fuss over what God's allowing to come your way. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you'll recognize, amen, that you're going to serve God and surrender your will to Him, you'll experience His grace in the midst of your fire like you never experienced anywhere else.
Brother Mark, come get us a song if you will, my brother. John. John's on the Isle of Patmos. John is on the Isle of Patmos. He was a faithful follower of Jesus. He'd experienced Christ in some mighty powerful ways. John was known as the Beloved. He was part of the inner circle of Jesus. There in the darkness of Gethsemane, he was found there at the table, leaning on Jesus. Even at the cross, such a trusted companion of the Lord, Jesus gave his mother into his care. He was the first disciple to arrive at the tomb after the resurrection. John had seen Jesus on Transfiguration, Mount Transfiguration. If anybody had ever experienced Christ on this earth, John did. But now John's on Patmos. John's in a prison, if you will. But where does John find himself on the Lord's day? John said, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And right in the middle of Patmos, he receives a revelation of Christ. A man that had spent 3 years walking this earth with him, watched him heal the sick, feed the 5,000, raise the dead. A man that experienced him in every way you could on this earth. Amen. But verse number 12 tells us in chapter 1, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as though they burn in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. John received the greatest revelation he ever had of Jesus while he was on Patmos. And I don't know what you're going through right here tonight, but I'm telling you, if you can get a faith in you greater than the fire, you may be on the very brink of the greatest revelation of Jesus in your life that you've ever experienced. I'm telling you, I don't know what you're going through. Amen. But right in the midst of your trial, if you surrender your will into His and put your faith in Him, you could be getting ready to have the greatest experience with God that you've ever had. It kept the 3 Hebrew boys in the fire. And He knows how to keep you in your trouble. I feel the Holy Ghost breathing on us right now in this altar. Somebody in this house needs a faith greater than their fire. Father, in Jesus' name, I feel you breathing upon us even right now. And I'm believing you, God, to work in this altar. I'm believing you to move in this house. Lord, move us to this altar and let somebody walk out of here with victory tonight. On the brink of this great camp meeting, Lord, put faith in somebody's heart. Oh, to receive the grace of God in a way they've never imagined. Lord, I don't know the circumstances and situations of people's lives here tonight, but there's one thing I do know. I know, Lord, that you are supreme and sovereign over everything. And somebody needs to surrender their will to God. Make that statement of faith. Amen. That anchor of faith. Plant it firmly. Amen. In the Son of God tonight. Amen. And stand firm on your promise. oh God, so they can endure this fire. In Jesus' name. Stand with me all over the house tonight. I feel the Lord wanting to help somebody in this house tonight. I don't know your circumstance. And is there anybody in here tonight? Is there anybody in this house tonight? Ever say, preacher, I'm desperate for help tonight. I feel like I'm right there about to go into the fire. I need God's strength and God's help and God's touch. He'd like to give you victory tonight. How many believes God can give you victory in the midst of the fire? Oh, how many's ever experienced it before? How many's ever been there whenever it felt like you didn't know if you could go another day, but then you got in the altar and the power of God fell and you got just what you needed to make it to another day? Somebody like to, God would like to do that for somebody in this house tonight. Hey man, it's your opportunity right here. You don't have to wait till Friday night at camp meeting. I said, you don't have to wait till Monday night at camp meeting. Oh, hallelujah. Right here on Sunday night, God would like to give you victory. I said, God would like to give you victory right here tonight. Hallelujah. Raise your hands toward heaven. Let's give God praise and glory. Who'll step out tonight? Who's here tonight just about to be overwhelmed? Feel like that you're about to crumble under the pressure. Maybe worry and fear and doubt is flooding your mind. And you say, preacher, I desperately need the touch of heaven on my soul tonight. I'm here to tell you, God would like to do it for you. I said, God would like to do it in this house tonight. Is there anybody that will step out in front of everybody else tonight? Be the first one to make it to the altar and say, that's me, preacher. Hey, amen, that's me. I need God's help tonight. I need victory in my soul. Oh, is there anybody tonight? Oh, hallelujah. That's it, brother. Amen. There's one. Amen. There's another. Is there anybody else? Lord, I need God's help. I can't afford to leave here without experiencing the touch of God in my heart. Oh, I need heaven's help tonight. I need victory. Oh, yes. Oh, raise your hands to heaven. Raise your hands to heaven tonight. Believe God to give victory. Is there anybody else tonight? Anybody else desperate for victory? Desperate for God's touch? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's come to the altar tonight. Let's believe God for a move of the Holy Ghost in this house. I said, let's believe God to give us a visitation of heaven on our soul in this place tonight. Come on now, let God do it for you.
For the problems you face.
Oh, I said, let God do it for you tonight.
There's power in prayer. Oh, he's the God.